Tonight I want to continue, and we've been looking all week in the evenings at Philippi, a great missionary church. Remember, this is a church that Paul said in verse 6, he said in verse number 3 of chapter 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. This is a church that shared in Paul's missionary ministry. The Bible tells us that they helped him to defend the gospel, that they fellowshiped with him in the gospel, they helped him to further the gospel, and this church of Philippi in northern Greece that Paul was able to plant on his second missionary journey is an example to us to emulate and really to pattern our churches after here in the day in which we live. And here in chapter 3, I'm going to go ahead and I want to read a couple of verses early on, and let's begin reading in verse 4. Paul said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, he said, I more. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now go down to verse number 12. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You understand that word apprehend? It means to get a hold of something. Paul said, I want to apprehend. I want to get a hold of the reason that Christ has gotten a hold of me. I want to apprehend that for which I have been apprehended, or I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. You know, in this chapter, Paul sets his new life and his purpose in Christ against the backdrop of his former life and purpose. Before Christ, his life had been all about him. It was about his selfish desires. It was about his prestige and his recognition. It was about his fleshly zeal that had led Paul to be a great enemy of the work of Christ. Paul, the great apostle that we read so much about in the New Testament, was an enemy of the church. He was a persecutor of the church. He was so consumed with religious bigotry and hatred that he actually despised the church of Jesus Christ. But now, in Christ, he discovered a new purpose in his life, a new motivation, a new desire to preach Christ to those who did not know him. And folks, as our understanding of the grace of Jesus Christ and his work within us grows, God also grows within us a desire to go forward in service to him. You see, God wants us to pursue a life of service to Christ. That's what God desires out of us. And you know, during a mission conference like this, part of what we're doing here, it is God's desire during this conference that people like you and me, ordinary people, would give our lives, would give ourselves for the cause of Christ and making him known to those who don't know Christ. That's what Paul's life was about. He said this in 1 Timothy 1:12, and he said, I thank Christ Jesus my Lord, who hath enabled me. Now notice this. Paul said this. for that he counted me faithful. Now listen to this phrase, putting me into the ministry. God wants to put people that will respond to his word into the ministry. You may be sitting here tonight and you may be coming somewhat as a spectator to the mission conference, to hear what God is doing in places in the world, to see the lives of these people, to feel the excitement of what God is going to do. And all along, God is developing a desire within your heart, a burning zeal to want to pursue this for yourselves. You know, that's exactly what God wants. God wants each of us that can and will to pursue a life of service for Jesus Christ. And tonight, I want every one of us to consider pursuing a life of service to Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to see, we can pursue a life of service, we see it here in this chapter, because of the encouragement of Jesus Christ. Look what Paul said in verse 12. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. That literally means he's kind of pursuing something. He's running after it. He said, I follow after. I pursue Christ with my life. Why? If that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You see, when Paul got saved, it wasn't just an exchange of one religious system for another. It wasn't that he had a bad religion, so he needed to get a good religion. He didn't exchange one religion for another. He didn't exchange one set of doctrine and rites and rituals for a new set of doctrine, rites, and rituals. Paul came in contact with a divine person, Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way. He said he had been apprehended by Christ. Now, I don't know about you, and you know, in my mind, apprehended, I have the sense of someone pushing me against a car and putting handcuffs on me and taking me somewhere. You know what Paul's saying? Christ got a hold of me. It wasn't a religion. He said Jesus Christ, a divine person, came in contact with my life and he apprehended me. He got a hold of me. And Paul said, now I have a pursuit in my life and it's this. I want to get a hold of, with that same intensity, why Christ got a hold of me. I want to pursue a life of service to Christ because of the encouragement that Jesus Christ brings into my life. Paul had a new companion. He had a new purpose in life. And because of that, he spent the rest of his life passionately pursuing a life of service for Jesus Christ. That's what the life of Christ in Paul did. Look at these verses in Colossians chapter 1 as Paul describes this life. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 25, Paul said, wherefore I am made what? A minister, a servant, according to the dispensation of God, which is given me to you, for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is manifest to his saints. He said this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now look what he said, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. Why? That we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. And I love this last verse. Whereunto he said, I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You say, how did Paul pursue this life of missionary service? It's because of the encouragement of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had taken up residence in Paul's life. Jesus took him and he said, he enabled me. He counted me faithful. He put me into the ministry to warn people, to teach people, that I might see people mature and presented to Jesus Christ as mature followers of Jesus Christ. That's what these missionaries' lives are all about. That's why Sean's going to India, that he might warn every man, that he might teach every man, that he might present them to Jesus Christ. That's why all these missionaries are going to different places in the world. That's why Pastor Dan and his staff sit here and they serve you as a church. Why? That they might warn you, that they might teach you, that they might present you perfect to Jesus Christ. in my mind somehow I have off in the future that one day when the church, the body of Jesus Christ, stands before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, there'll be shepherds of men presenting their flocks to Jesus Christ, presenting them as a mature offering to God. That motivated Paul. Jesus Christ got in him. Jesus Christ encouraged him. Paul said, I am trying to apprehend, to get a hold of completely why Jesus Christ has gotten a hold of me. And I want to ask you this tonight. Do you understand tonight? Now listen. Here's the question. Do you understand tonight why you have been apprehended of Jesus Christ? Why has Christ apprehended you tonight? Why has Christ revealed Himself to you through the gospel? Why has Jesus Christ saved you? Why has He changed your life? Why has He added you to a great body of believers like this? It's this, that you might make Him known to others, that they may experience His life-changing power. Paul said, man, I am pursuing a life. I am following after. I am seizing or pursuing a life of service for Jesus Christ. Why? Because of what Jesus has done in me. Because of the encouragement of Jesus Christ in my life. What? To reach others and do for them what Christ has done for me. You see, we got to pursue a life of service, and you can do that tonight. You can make a decision tonight to pursue a life of service for Jesus Christ because of the encouragement that Jesus Christ has given you in your life. But not only that, I want you to notice another thing in our text tonight. God, you can pursue a life of service for Jesus Christ not just because of what Jesus Christ has done in you, but secondly, because of the excitement of Christian growth. Why would anyone want to be in the ministry? Because it's exciting. You know, as great a man, and notice this, what Paul says here in verse number 12. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. He said, brethren, now look at this. This is the humility of this man. Here's this great man, a man as great as Paul, and he had been in the ministry so long a time, but he was still so excited about the future of what Christ was doing in him. Look what he says, verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul said? I am pursuing a life of service in Christ simply because of the excitement of growing as a Christian in ministry with Jesus Christ. Look at these words he uses. Notice these words in verse 13. He said, I'm reaching forth. That word reaching forth, it's like the runner and he's neck and neck with another guy coming to the finish line. And man, he is just stretching every muscle as far as he can, falling toward it to get there first. That's the picture in your mind. That's the word here. I'm stretching forth. He said, I am reaching forth. Why? Unto those things which he said, which are before. Those things that are in front of me. And then he said this, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here's what you need to get out of this verse about Paul's ministry, Paul's pursuit of a life of service to Jesus Christ. It was always forward leaning. It was, I'm pressing toward, I'm reaching forth, I'm going before. Paul never got bored with what he was doing in life. You know, the average American changes their job every 2 to 3 years because they just aren't sure what they're supposed to do with it, and they get bored. Here's the Apostle Paul, after a lifetime of ministry, pressing, pursuing, going after what's in front of him. Why? Because the excitement of what it brings to your life when you follow Jesus Christ with all your heart. You know, it's interesting because when you look at that word, he said, I press toward the mark. I want you to look back at another thing about Paul's past life. Go back, if you would, and look at verse number 6. Paul talked about his life before Christ. Look what he said in verse 6 about his zeal. The word zeal means fire, intensity. You know what the intensity of his life was before he got saved? Verse 6, it says there. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Now here's what's interesting. When Paul says, I press toward the mark, that word pressing, that's the same exact word that's translated persecute in verse 6. Paul was pursuing his life for Jesus Christ and his ministry with the same intensity that he pursued the church and hated it. Paul was a changed man. Paul said, I'm pressing. Paul was intense. Man, he was intense about what was God. Hey, is your life boring? Let me give you a hint. Go into the ministry. Do something like that for God. It'll just perk up right away. Do something like that. Allow God to use your life. You say, I had that. I've been thinking in my heart, man. I have this. Man, I think about it, and I'm teaching a class, and I hear Brother Dan preach, and I think, I'd like to do it. Maybe you're here this week, and you hear me preach, and you say, I wish I could get up there and yell at him like he does. You know, God's bringing about a desire in you. The Bible says, through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. God says it's when we have that desire, we set ourselves apart, that we're able to seek and be involved with the wisdom of God. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. God produces holy desires in us. You know what? You know why you ought to follow that desire tonight and give yourself to the ministry of Jesus Christ, for the service of Jesus Christ? Simply because it's an exciting investment into Christian growth that God's going to bring about in you. Amen. You know, there's some of you tonight that you right tonight should yield your lives to the ministry of Jesus Christ. You should yield your lives tonight to pursue a life of ministry and really even missionary service because of what God is doing in you and because of the excitement of Christian growth. It's kind of like a good recipe, and you put all the ingredients in and you just stir it up. It's kind of like a fire and the embers are getting a little going out a little bit, and you stick it there, you stir it up and you light it up. That's what God's doing in your heart. So I don't know what it is, but it's just good. That's God stirring your heart up for ministry and for service. You know, the possibilities, what God can and will do with your life are unbelievable. They're endless. In Ephesians chapter number 3 in verse 20, Paul said this, now unto him, he's talking about God, now unto him that is able, now look what he said God's able to do, exceeding, abundantly, above, and I put A-L-L in capitals, all that I can ask or think. You know what he's saying? God just wants to do exciting things through our lives while we're here on this earth. Hey, coming to this earth, one guy told me all life is, he says, you're born, you come from dirt, you carry dirt around all your life, and then when you die, they put you back in the dirt. Had a professor in college, Walter Vile, tell me that. Tell me that's his view on life. I thought, that's pretty morbid, but you know, God formed Adam of the dust of the ground, breathing his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. You're made from dirt. You're carrying around your shoes all your life, and one day you're going to turn back to dirt. Hey, I don't know about you, but we have an eternal life. We have an eternal existence in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. Life is exciting. You say, why should I pursue a life of ministry? Why should I follow what God's doing in my heart? Because of the excitement of Christian growth. Paul, man, look at him. He said, I'm pursuing it. I'm following after it. He said, I just haven't got tired of it. And this is toward the end of his ministry. We need to follow that life of service and growth. But you know, in growth, there's a price to be paid for growth. And we need to count that cost. Paul talked about this. He said, not in verse 13, he said how he was pressing forward. Verse 14, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, he paid the price of direction, first of all. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. You know, there's a price. It's forgetting some things. Now, in the Bible, when the Bible talks about forgetting something, it doesn't mean you can somehow erase it from your mind and it's gone, kind of like you can erase a tape. That's not what forgetting means in the Bible. Forgetting means this, to know, no longer be influenced or affected by something. And God says to go forward and pursue Him and pursue that life of growth. It means there's some things in your life you shouldn't allow to influence you any longer. Why? Because you're in Christ. You're a new person in Christ. You know, it's interesting. Most of us understand this, that at the moment we got saved, that God gave us a new future. We understand that heaven's our home. But you know, God also gave you a new past. Because as a believer, when you look at your past now, you can never look any further back than to the cross. Because at the moment of the cross, when you were saved, you were crucified in Christ. There is no past other than Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're crucified with Christ. And it's no longer your life, but it's Christ's life in you. And you know what? God says you need to live out of that principle of direction. Pay that price to go forward for God. To break the power of the past. How? By living for the future. Paul said, I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm reaching before. I'm doing this. Why? Because when I'm reaching forward for Christ, I'm breaking the power of the past. I'm letting go of that which is behind. Some of you, you don't go forward for Christ because you're so enslaved to the past. And you don't believe you can let go of it. And maybe you don't even want to let go of it. And I've seen so many pursue and come out and God begin to produce a desire in their heart to do something for them, which I believe with a true desire and a genuine zeal, but just continually failing because they just won't pay the price of direction. Forgetting those things which are behind. Letting go of those things. There's a price of devotion. He said this, now notice this, this one thing I do. That's a principle all throughout the Bible. David said, one thing have I required of the Lord, that have I sought after, that I might, he said, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord and behold His beauty. One thing. You see Mary and Martha, and you see Mary worshiping at the feet of Jesus Christ. You see Martha mad because Mary wasn't helping in the kitchen. And Jesus said, no. He said, she's sought one thing, and I'm not going to take it from her. You see, what's the price of Christian growth? It's the price of devotion. It's the price of selling. It's the price of giving yourself wholly to God and to His Word. There's a price of discipline. Look what he said down here in verse number 16. Paul said this, nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, in other words, we've already grown some, let us walk by the same, and he uses this word, rule. Let us mind the same thing. You see, there's a discipline, he said, to walk by a particular rule, to mind a particular thing. And really, what if you study the Word of God, you'll understand clearly that this is the rule. This is the thing we're to pursue. It's the price of discipline, of studying and learning God's Word, and paying the price of direction and paying the price of devotion. And as we're doing that, what can we do? We experience the excitement of Christian growth in our life. You see, you can pursue a life of service for Jesus Christ. How? You have to, by the encouragement, by what Christ's done in your life. It's by the excitement of what He wants to do in your life. Christian growth. But then here's a great and powerful thing that I think we really get a hold of a mission conference. We should pursue a life of service because of the example of other faithful servants of Jesus Christ. Look what Paul said there in verse number 17. He said, brethren, now notice this. He said, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example or an example. You know what Paul said? We're to mark. We're to mark. We're to look at certain people and we're to follow those people as an example. You know, it's not just a good idea to allow faithful lives of others to motivate us. It's actually commanded here. He said, mark them as an example. Look at these lives. What's one of the great, I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said, I love being a member of this church. She's because the church I was a member of for years, they never brought missionaries in. We never saw missionaries. You know what? Part of doing a conference like this, it's to parade these faithful and dedicated lives before you. Why? That you say, you know what? That's what I want to do with my life. Paul said, as you, brethren, be followers together of me. And he said this, mark them which walk like I do, as you have us for an example. You know, with all the failure and the floundering going on in leaders in our lives today, we need some heroes. I was just thinking today that governor of New York, and you know, he resigned, and the new governor got put in his first day in office. He's going through the list of all the bad things he's been doing in his marriage. I thought, you know, it's bad. I'm sitting there at home watching news with my kids. I'm constantly muting things. You know, I don't want to hear what all these people are doing. They're supposed to be people they look up to. You know, we need some real heroes in our lives. And that's what these missionaries are. That's what they ought to be to us. And really not because they're perfect or because they're above failing themselves, but because they've determined to live to a higher calling. He said in verse 20, "For our conversation, our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." It's people living for another world. You know, this church has been blessed with so many godly leaders, so many godly missionaries coming through. You guys have had the best brought before you. I'm looking at tonight, and I'm looking at how things are running here, and here's our goals for next year. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And last night I did this. I'm sitting back there thinking, man, we are so retarded at our church. We just don't have it together at all. I thought, oh my goodness. I need to do something. Exchange program, Tommy, 6 months? No, I'm just kidding. But you know what, folks? What a blessing. And you look at those lives and you say, well, what does that mean to me? Here's what it means to you. It ought to be a motivator to your life. You ought to pursue a life of service for Jesus Christ. Why? Paul said, because of the examples of faithful servants you have in front of you. Look what Christ has done in you. Look at the excitement of living a life for Christ, Paul said. And Paul said, look at the lives of the people that have brought in front of you. And like I said, there's some of you. And I know this is true because it's true everywhere people are gathered under the Word of God, that the Word of God begins to take root and do a work in people's lives and begins to create desires for ministry. And sometimes in the early days, it's a question. It's a question like, how do you know, Brother Dan, if you know, God's leading me or wants me to be in the ministry? And the answer is, you go around asking people questions like that. That's how you know. It's a desire. It's something God's stirring up within you. But here's the thing. You say, where does that life begin? It has to have a starting point. There has to be a place where you respond to what God is doing in you. And you're willing to allow others to enter into that and to give you guidance and pray and nurture what God is doing in you. I was thinking yesterday, and I checked to make sure it was accurate. I was here in 1995. I think it was the first week in March the mission conference was that year. It was earlier. And I remember preaching a mission conference just like this. The reason I remember it, because I met my wife the next week. And she was traveling and came to our church with her sister and her husband. And we went out to eat. And Brother Steve, the pastor, I was a youth pastor at the time, he asked me a question about the mission conference. And I'll never forget what Cheryl said to me the very first night I ever met her and had a meal with her. She said, "What qualifies you to preach a missions conference?" And I was like, "Who is this woman? She's mean." Now I'm married to her, you know. That was the week. And I remember the answer, I thought. I remember thinking, I don't know. My friend asked me to, so I did it. I don't know. But really, nothing qualified me, you know, so it was a good question. But you know what else happened that week? That was a great day in the life of this church. I don't know if it was the last night. I just remember it was one of the nights of that service. Tommy and Sherry Thompson came forward in that mission conference, and they yielded their lives to service for Christ. And look what God is doing. Look at the excitement in their life. It was right here. It was at a mission conference. So, well, they're not missionaries. You know what? God put you go where God put where you want to. You go where God leads you to go. You go where everyone is different, individual, and the leadership there. But you know what the fact of the matter is? It starts somewhere. It starts somewhere. And it has to begin with you yielding to the desire to pursue a life of service for Jesus Christ. Amen. It begins by responding to that leadership in your heart. And you know what? You may be here tonight and that zeal and that desire and that calling of God in your life. Man, it's time to respond to it. It's time to let people know. You say, well, I'm afraid to do that. Well, you know what? There is an apprehension in following the life and the plan of God. But you know what? You need to respond to that. Maybe you're just in the very early stages of thinking about that. And maybe there's some things in your life and have questions. Tell Brother Dan, tell these guys, let them share the Word of God. Let them pray with you. Let them give you guidance. You say, but I'm too old, young, dumb, good looking, undereducated. I don't know what it is. But I can tell you this, it has to have a beginning point. And tonight ought to be the beginning point for someone that's here tonight. This ought to be that night that you respond to what God is doing in your heart, in that desire and that direction that He's encouraging in your heart. Let's have every head bowed tonight. As Brother Dan comes, I this church is so blessed. There's just such a great example before you of what Paul's been talking about in this letter. This Philippian church is such a true model for this church tonight. And you know what? God wants to do the same things in your lives that He did through the lives of Paul and through the lives of these people in the Bible. Respond to what God's doing in your heart tonight. Respond to what God's creating in you.
There may be some of you here tonight that